This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Do you take this woman as your lawful wedded wife?
Ooh, yeah!
Oh, no.
Place the ring on her finger and repeat after me. With this ring, I thee wed.
Hello, and welcome to With This Ring. I'm your co-host, Ryan Everett.
I'm your co-host, Cindy Everett.
And this week, as we continue our journey looking at the greatest WWE matches ever poll, we will be doing the Women's Revolution.
Yeah.
Looking at women's matches from the last 15 years about.
A little bit heavily weighted towards the last five.
Yeah, well, that's kind of WWE view on women's wrestling in general. We did not look at any of the Fabulous Moolah matches from the 70s and 80s because they're all pretty bad, actually.
Are they?
Yeah.
Not even worth looking at one for a benchmark?
Not really.
Well, I guess we already had a benchmark
Yeah,
match.
I mean, maybe WrestleMania 1, where it's Wendy Richter, who was the champ, against Lamali Kai, who had Moolah as her manager, and Wendy Richter had Cyndi Lauper as her manager.
Oh, of course.
And that's kind of how they did the whole rock and wrestling thing and made it kind of mainstream. They had matches on MTV.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that was kind
women?
Of like, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wendy Richter was like a big time star for like a year, and then Vince McMahon wanted her to sign a contract, and she didn't want to sign it right away. She wanted to look over it.
Oh.
So she went out to fight who she thought was a jobber named the Spider Lady in Madison Square Garden. And the Spider Lady pinned her in 3 seconds, won the match. And
really?
It was the Fabulous Moolah.
The Spider Lady was the Fabulous Moolah?
Yes. Like, he sent Fabulous Moolah out as this masked lady because he knew that she could actually
wrestle
her and beat her
quickly
to the ground. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. Yeah. But
all right,
all those matches weren't really that great.
Yeah, so, 3 seconds. We could have.
Yeah.
I guess we could have spent three
well,
seconds watching it.
The match
it.
Itself was.
So you spent more time explaining
the match itself was
than
longer
more.
Than 3 seconds,
oh, okay.
But it was like she pinned her and Wendy Richter like kicked out at 2, but the ref just kept counting.
Oh.
So there were shenanigans afoot.
There always are.
Yep.
Usually is.
So
okay.
We actually, though, started with a match that at the time was heavily lauded as the best women's match up to that point.
Yeah, so what happened between the Fabulous Moolah and then the first one we watched in 2006?
So,
really anything?
Like in 89, the women's title was dormant. There was no one around. And then in 1993, late 93, they started it up again. Alundra Blaze, Medusa became champ.
Yeah, I'm not going to know any of these names.
No,
that you're telling
and then she defended it for like 2 years. And then it went dormant again, and she showed up on a Nitro when she was the WWF Women's Champ and took the belt and put it in the garbage, literally. So they decided, okay, we're going to stop the women's division for right now, because for one thing, we don't have any women, and for another reason, our title was just literally put in the garbage.
Well, I'm sure worse things have happened to titles.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Paige would know about that. But
what do you mean?
No, there's... There were some videos that popped up online of her and a male companion doing things to the NXT women's title. But we'll let that for another podcast.
So that sounds like it's sort of an explicit title on it.
Yes. So then in 98, Sable was becoming huge. So they decided to bring the women's title back. But then it was, Sable wasn't a wrestler.
Yeah, she was more just like a
model, basically.
Yeah.
And most of the women,
say a valet.
The women in that time period, it was like, there was Jacqueline, the black lady.
I can kind of picture her.
Yeah, I've kind of seen her. Ivory, she was like she was from GLOW originally.
Oh, sounds like an American Gladiator name.
Kind of, yeah. Well, when they had run out of names, they started naming them after bars of soap, I guess. But, like, there was, like, 3 or 4 actual women wrestlers, and then they were always against, like, these models. Like,
gotcha.
And then, eventually, one of these models, though, was Trish Stratus. She came in as a fitness model.
Okay,
but she was a wrestling fan.
Gotcha.
So that was like her foot in the door was because she was a fitness model and, you know, would do all the gimmicks that they wanted her to.
Right.
But she also was being trained as a wrestler.
That makes sense because she was very gimmicky.
Right, yeah. So she eventually just kept working at being a wrestler and became one of the best at that time women wrestlers. And then from the other side of the spectrum, someone who started training in Mexico as a wrestler and kept growing and got to the WWF was Lita.
Oh, Lita's from Mexico?
No, she's from the United States, but like she started training to wrestle in Mexico, and that's kind of why she was always more of a high flyer.
Okay, different style.
Yeah. So the two of them, they came in basically at the same time, early 2000, and they always were paired with each other, either like as a tag team or more often as rivals.
Right.
So they actually had a main event on Raw in 2004.
Okay.
And then in 2006, when we got to this match, it was Trish Stratus against Lita.
Mm-hmm.
Lita was defending the women's title.
Yep.
And it was already, it had been declared a couple weeks before that this was Trish's retirement match.
That's right. They were building that up.
The ripe old age of, 31.
Oh, okay.
She was hanging them up. Of course, she's come back for numerous matches since then, but still.
It's good to have your first retirement match when you're 31.
Yeah.
Kind of build up to it.
And she's come back every once in a while, but that was the end of her as a full-time performer. She's done, she's got some sort of yoga studio.
Nowadays has a lifestyle yoga brand.
She was on some crappy, reality show where.
Really?
She was, a cop.
What?
Let me see if I can find it.
Wait, it was a reality show, but she played a policewoman?
She was, they all became law enforcement somehow.
What?
Let me see if I can find this. Armed and Famous. Here, okay. Armed and Famous was an American reality show that premiered in January 2007 on CBS.
Oh, it was on network TV?
Yeah. Oh, this is real. Okay. Oh, wow. The place where it is just perfect. The series follows five celebrities as they train to become reserve police officers.
What does that mean?
For the Muncie Police Department in Muncie, Indiana, followed by graduation. So I think it's basically like
Keystone Cops.
It's like a volunteer arm of the police department. In case a riot broke out at Muncie, which I guess is that where Ball State is?
Maybe.
I think it is.
I can look that up.
Muncie, Indiana.
I don't think there was anything in Muncie. No offense.
Yeah, it's home to Ball State. Oh, so maybe if Ball State had a riot, they'd be called in. And the celebrities. Celebrities, I should say, is Eric Estrada from Chips.
Never watched that one.
Well, yeah, it's from the 1970s.
Okay.
He was one of the police officers on a motorcycle.
Okay. Again, yeah.
LaToya Jackson.
Nice.
I
know who LaToya Jackson is.
Jack Osborne of the Osborne family.
Oh my gosh, seriously?
Trish Stratus and Jason Acuna, a.k.a. Wee Man and Jackass. So the midget from Jackass. Who was probably also at one time confused for Hornswoggle.
Oh, I'm sure.
So that's what Trish went to shortly after this, really.
Yeah, really.
January of 2007.
Sure, they had this lined up.
Yep.
Well, now, did she ever, did they complete the training program? Is she a reserve police officer in Muncie?
I think it got canceled.
You think?
Oh, no, on December 5th, 2006, the celebrities were sworn in as reserve officers.
We have to find this show. Wait, there's a section called Lawsuit on that Wikipedia page.
Yeah, in March 2007, Lindsay Clements, 22, filed a lawsuit claiming that her home was wrongfully entered as she was questioned about people she did not know. She claims the search was illegal and excessive and violated her constitutional rights. Footage appeared on the January 11th show. So, my 21st birthday,
you could have watched
Trish Stratus illegally break into someone's home in Muncie, Indiana.
You could have.
I don't think I was, but. Showed police rushing in and then someone in handcuffs. Clements acknowledged that LaToya Jackson and Jack Osborne were involved. So.
All right, we'll have to look into that show. That seems like something Pluto TV would have on.
Oh, three episodes did not air, and in 2008, the CBS spokeswoman confirmed that the network had no intention to air the missing three episodes.
Oh, I wonder what's in those three episodes.
Yeah, I'm sure it's scandalous. So, getting back to...
That's a good tangent,
September
though.
September of...
I like that. Armed and Fabulous.
September 17th of 2006, this was, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah, we talked about the Air Canada Center,
obviously. Trish Stratus from Toronto.
That's right. It's so home crowd for sense. Her.
Yeah, and...
For her retirement.
Her hometown retirement match. You kind of know how it's going to go.
Right, yeah.
I mean, there's a thing, like, old-timer wrestlers would always say, oh, you always go out losing.
Really?
Yeah, just because you're done. So you might as well... The guy who you are wrestling is going to have to wrestle the next day, so he should be made stronger. But this was... different. It's, for one thing, everyone knew who Lita was. It wasn't like they were making Lita.
That's true, like making a name for herself.
And actually, Lita left 2 months later.
Really?
She was done, yeah. She left at a loss, though.
Oh.
She lost. But also, she was a heel. Trish was a face, so. She just kind of, she started like a rock band. And
really?
She comes back every once in a while, also.
Okay. She didn't do a CBS reality show?
I don't think so, no, unless that was lesser known.
You mean lesser known than Armed and Fabulous?
I mean, Armed and Fabulous, pretty good.
Yeah. But yeah, this was definitely the first women's match I had sat down and like seriously watched. I'd seen the recent ones, then we went to, you know, the Hell in the Cell. No, War Games.
Right.
But it was definitely, you can tell how far they've come from this match, because it was a little gimmicky. There was a lot of those handstands that seemed to be
That's kind her of go-to Trish's move.
Yeah.
One of her biggest things was just using her physical abilities, gymnast.
Yeah, and when you said she's a fitness model, that makes a lot of sense now.
Right.
And I think, just not my limited knowledge, I thought it would be a lot of hair pulling, a lot of just like really weak moves, but they were both a lot more athletic than I thought they were going to be.
Yeah, it's a very good women's match. Like, this is, although at the time, this was like, oh, it was real good for a women's match.
Gotcha, the qualifier.
Right, yeah.
I think I would still say that.
Yeah. I mean, for a 2006 women's match, though, it's... I mean, there's like a few others that you could say, but this was probably one in the short list of best women's matches.
From the early aughts.
Yes.
From the aughts.
They also, at WrestleMania that year, at 22 in Chicago... Mickey James versus Trish Stratus was also very good.
Oh, okay.
It also included Mickey James doing that taunt, which unfortunately has been edited off the network. But
makes sense.
I mean, it was really...
If this is a podcast, so people can't see what you did.
People
know.
People know.
The people listening to this know.
The signal she made and the fun
why
part about
it.
Well, the thing, Mickey James at the time was Trish's stalker kind of angle.
Oh.
Where she wanted to, like, be her, and
she couldn't
beat her, so she wanted to beat her then.
Gotcha.
And obviously, this is a very heel gimmick, but Chicago crowd loved Mickey James because of this, and when she did that, she had, like, the biggest smile on her face, and then, because right after that, Trish went for her, the flying, like, bulldog move that she always did, so Mickey James blocked it by just rubbing Trish's vagina.
Oh.
And that broke her concentration, obviously, as it might. And then she made it taunt and then kicked her for the win.
Oh, okay.
So.
Should have watched that one.
I was thinking about it, but without the pussy grab and then the tongue through the lips, it's just not the same.
They edited out the pussy grab, too?
Yeah, it's like, edit is very odd, because it's like, Trish is like... setting up for a bulldog, and then, like, it just skips 30 seconds, and Mickey kicks her in the face. It's like...
Poochie went back to his home planet.
Yeah, Poochie went back to his home planet. I have something to say. Okay. So, yeah, but both two very strong women's matches in 2006, and then to kind of compare and contrast the women's matches to the Divas matches...
Oh, that was the difference in divisions?
I mean, not real. At the time, they were all Divas.
Gotcha.
But just kind of to
I see what you
help
say.
You see the difference.
Yep.
We actually went earlier in 2006 to June 12th, 2006 at State College.
The Civic Arena. Yeah, not find any information about that place.
Well, you don't want to go in the showers there. Let's just leave it at that. Especially in this time.
Mm-hmm.
But,
oh, yeah.
So we had a Wet and Wild match between Tori Wilson and Candice Michelle. It goes a whole 3 minutes, and Tori wins after dumping a pail of water on Candice.
Yes, that was the finisher.
And they had water balloons, water guns, and pails of water inside the ring that could be legally used during the match.
And I think they were both wearing white.
They were both wearing white, yes.
Yes. And, so I think there was an obvious...
And Tori kept using her little dog as...
Oh, I forgot. Like a prop in the match. That's right.
And these two also had a match at WrestleMania this year.
Really? Yes. This year? Wait.
2006.
Oh, no, 2019. I was like... Really? What was their WrestleMania match like?
A Playboy pillow fight. Because they had both been on... Tori had been on Playboy in 2003 and 2004, and then Candice was the cover girl. They always kind of had a cover girl going into WrestleMania.
That's right. I remember you saying that.
So Candice was 2006. So they had a... I think it was... it was a Playboy pillow fight where the ring literally had a big bed in the ring with pillows around it. And they fought.
Oh no! Well, we've come a long way since then. It's good to see.
Well, that back then they had the two title. Well, they still have the two world title matches. So you need something in between the two title matches to.
So that's just kind of
the crowd.
Yeah.
Get their popcorn.
I was going to say, go to the
bathroom. The popcorn match before the big title match.
So yeah, this one really nothing to say. Just it was Jerry Lawler and JR announcing.
Yes.
And really no wrestling. It was just kind
of none of that needed.
Right.
I thought JR kind of. Whenever they had these matches, especially like at this point, he's kind of good at like kind of saying that this is all bullshit, but letting you still get into it.
Right.
I thought he kind of had his little comments in there.
Yeah. And this definitely was kind of what I expected from the era.
Yeah, and this was actually kind of towards the end of that, because in 2008 when it became PG, they kind of got away from that, but then they would just have women's matches that were 2 minutes anyways.
Gotcha.
Not titillating at all. And
just like, okay.
Yeah, just, we need a women's match on Raw tonight. Here's 2 minutes and you
gotcha.
Go.
Gotcha.
And that's kind of how it was for a while.
Okay.
And then we get to our next match where on Raw it was still kind of that, but on NXT they started... making the women a big focal point.
Right. Well, they probably had the talent to do that.
Probably. Yes. Yeah, that was a big part of it. And, like, NXT always had a women's division. Paige came from there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Emma. Natalia even
really?
Like, came back down from the main roster and wrestled there for a while. Just
that.
Kind of.
What year did Paige start? I can't remember.
She started in 2012, but, like, 2013. 2014 is when she started on the main roster.
When did she start at NXT?
2012 or 13.
Okay, yeah.
But she was the first women's
champion. AJ go through NXT?
She went on NXT when it was something different. Originally, it was like...
Oh, here I get the whole history lesson now.
So NXT originally was like a show where there'd be six rookies... And they'd be trained with six pros, or teamed with six pros. And it was like a game show, basically.
Oh, okay.
And, like, this is how Daniel Bryan started in the WWE. And this, like, a bunch of guys came up this way.
Is that Tough Enough?
It was different than Tough Enough, but similar, kind of, in a way. Like, all six of the people were actual wrestlers already.
Gotcha.
Like, Daniel Bryan had been wrestling for 12 years when he was on Tough Enough, or on NXT.
Gotcha.
And so AJ was on, like, the third season of that. They had a season where it was all just women. So that's where she came through. But, so, Paige was the first women's champ, and then Charlotte won it when Paige went up to the main roster. She had to vacate the NXT title.
Gotcha.
And Charlotte won a tournament with that, beating Natalia. And then Charlotte held the title until our next match.
Yep.
Was a fatal four-way match for the NXT women's title from February 11th, 2015 in the first of, well, only two matches from Winter Park, Florida.
Yes. Yeah, only two at Full Sail.
At Full Sail.
The for-profit university.
Yes.
I didn't find anything about the arena specifically, but I did not
know.
Well,
I think
know
it's just the soundstage in the university.
Right. Yeah, I didn't really know a lot about it. I know I was telling you how they have a video game, like, team.
Right.
Yeah, it's very big into the visual arts and like video gaming and the mixed media or media studies. Yeah, it's also a for-profit where a lot of students graduate with a lot of debt and not a lot of job opportunities. So,
well, unless you're a wrestler.
That's true. Well, I don't get to go to school there.
No, I don't think you do.
But, yeah, I looked it up. It's like on the other side of Orlando than Disney. So
right, yeah,
eventually, if we want to do a NXT Disney trip, we'll have to kind of think about how we play that. But that's a couple years
right, like, couple down the line. Right, a couple years down the line. So this was... It's Bayley. The four horsewomen
of NXT. Very nice. It was Bayley.
Yep.
Sasha.
Yep.
Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
Yep. And I would say out of the four of them, only Bayley and Sasha kind of look the same. Well, Bayley not anymore because she's got her soccer, angry emo soccer mom look. But
Her new look is not really. No. Yeah. Charlotte is not as her boobs are
and that enhanced.
Right, that was kind of pre
augmented
augmentation, and Becky had a different hair color, like a different outfit.
Like yeah, she was kind of spiel. Just coming in at this point, right. So she didn't have really like
identity.
The next next takeover, she fights Sasha in a one-on-one match, and that's when she came out with like the bright orange hair and kind of originally she kind of had like a steampunk.
That's
sort of
right, I remember that
thing,
yeah.
And I mean it's evolved since then, but here she's just like in. I think like a red one piece.
Right, outfit. Yeah.
And like her natural
brunette,
reddish hair.
Yep. But no, it's going to be definitely a huge contrast from the Wet and Wild match.
Yes.
Definitely higher caliber.
Yeah, and I think this was like, there was still, the main event was Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn, and it was still really good. But I think this was the first time people were like, oh, wow. Women, it's not just, they had a good match for women. It was like, this is the best match of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of like the NXT women's matches before this had always been good, like really good matches.
Gotcha.
But like, okay, Charlotte versus Bayley is really good at the December takeover, but it's no Sami Zayn versus Neville for 30 minutes.
Gotcha.
But now this is where it's like, you could probably say they're neck and neck with the main event.
Yeah. This one went on for a while, I think. How long was this match?
Actually, it's only 12 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Which is, it seems, it's for four women, or four people, there's always something going on.
Right.
There's no, like, one spot where everyone's down and out.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
There will be a spot where three women are wrestling, and one of them will be taken out, and then the other one comes back in and goes at it.
Yeah, so definitely a lot more athletic.
Yes. And from there, we go to August
20th. Oh, Sasha Banks won.
Sasha won and became...
The champion.
Yeah.
I didn't have a ton of notes. I just thought that they were a lot more enjoyable and better to watch.
Yes. Than the Wet and Wild match.
Even the two... Yeah, and then it kind of helps put the 2006 Trish Lita one in perspective. Because that's not... like quote-unquote bad by any means,
right?
It's just a different, you can tell they were trained differently.
It's even like just watching a good match from the early 90s to a good match now, like
that's true. Yeah,
the
styles evolve and everything, but it's very enjoyable.
Yep. And that really started up Sasha Banks to being like, from I would say from there until October when she left NXT, she was the top. And before we go on, we're going to take a quick pause to just remind you of all the great shows on the PTBN wrestling feed. Plenty of great content for you on both of our podcast feeds here at Place to Be Nation.
We have plenty of great content for you right here on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, including
the Place to Be podcast, the mothership of the PTBN, where co-hosts JT Rosero and Scott Criscolo take you chronologically through the history of WWE.
PTBN Main Event with hosts Scott Criscolo, Nate Milton, and Steve Weil, breaking down all the current events in the world of wrestling.
The Wrestling War Zone podcast looking at the Monday Night Wars, brought to you by JT Rosero and Chad Campbell.
Row 1, Seat 1, an interesting look inside the world of small town wrestling, with host Ben Zanny welcoming in a variety of guests each week
Then we have Talking WCW heads to center stage, where Tim Cable, Greg Phillips, and Jennifer Smith look at the legendary promotion from WCW, looking at certain wrestlers in three of their matches each edition.
I think it's combined. Oh. Extreme Three-Way Dance takes you back on a trek through the land of extreme with JT Rosero, John D'Amato, and Jennifer Smith.
Body Press Your Luck, a brand new wrestling game trivia show hosted by JT Rosero and Jordan Duncan.
With This Ring, in which husband and wife Ryan and Cindy Everett discuss specific matches in their respective fandoms.
We probably don't have to read that part.
That's nice. That's us.
You Don't Know Billy Jack, where Drew Wardlaw and his friend Jordan watch and discuss some of the greatest pro wrestling matches of all time through the eyes of a non-wrestling fan. In search of a universal connection and pro wrestling storytelling. Kind of
familiar, yeah. Plus, monthly WWE pay-per-view reaction shows and semi-regular shows like Jenny and the Gems, No Holds Barred, Adam's Division, Special Relations, and Jeff Learns Wrestling.
Also, be sure to check out the PTBN Pop Feed, littered with great content, offering tremendous shows like The Hard Traveling Fanboys, The Year in Pop, Laugh in Theater, DC4U, Marvel Age, the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast, and much more. Subscribe today.
And while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position feed as well, as it is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Driving, Telling Stories, MCU Journey, the Infinity, and more.
And on our social media pages, make sure you look at the Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament is now underway. We are in round one. There will be four matchups per day, so make sure to like our tournament on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. You don't want to miss a single one. Or actually just sign up on both so you could vote two times for your favorite show.
Is that what you've been doing?
Yes. Yeah.
What show have you been voting for?
Well, I mean...
Each round it's a different right. show. Yeah. Yes, I've been noticing that as well. And we have officially kicked off our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. Oh. You have all year to do research, promote matches, and build your list. Conversation rules can be found at www.facebook.com/GWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board.
And coming later this year, that is how With This Ring will continue. We will eventually turn it into WCW matches and hope you enjoy that. And thank you very much. And let's go on with the show. And then that leads us to the first ever Brooklyn show, the first ever NXT show that was in a big arena.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Like everything else, all the takeovers beforehand were smaller. At Full Sail.
Oh, gotcha.
And even, I don't think they had really done, they've always done their live shows around Florida, but like little arenas. This was before they actually toured.
Gotcha.
Even like in Chicago when they did like Logan Square and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So this was before all that. This was the first live, we're doing something outside of Florida, big time show, and it was at Barclays Center. So
that's a big time.
Yeah, that's
venue.
Yeah, 15,000 people, 15,589
at Barclays.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
And it's Bayley versus Sasha, and at this point, it was kind of obvious what was happening because Sasha, Becky and Charlotte had already been on Raw for like a month.
Okay.
Bayley was the only one still really fully on NXT. So
gotcha. Yep.
You kind of knew what was happening, but you never know. Like Kevin Owens had been NXT champ for like 3 months after he'd gone up to Raw. So.
Right. That transition time.
Right. And it's easy if on NXT you take four episodes on a Wednesday.
That's true.
Once a month. So it's not that hard to
kind of go between both.
Right.
But that's how they do it at NXT. They just tape.
They did.
Okay.
Not anymore. Now that it's on USA, it's live every week.
Okay. Gotcha. Yep. Yeah, Barclays. There's no parking lot there. It's one of the few arenas with no.
Yep, makes sense.
Parking, but actually, it's difficult when they have to bring all the air equipment in. Oh. So they have to bring it. Yeah, because you know, think about their trailers that they have. So they have. It's like underground, so they have to go under the arena, then they put them on these giant turntables and like spin them around and unload everything. Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know if it was just where we stayed when we went, but the train station wasn't like right there.
There is one right
there. Oh, there is one? Okay.
Yeah, but, right, from where we stayed though, we were going like, the opposite like, direction. Yeah, we stayed east of, I think, Barclays, but
yeah,
you're coming from Manhattan. Right. Like all the train lines were kind of on the other side.
We probably went like a next stop over and makes sense.
Right. We were, where we stayed, we weren't really, didn't really have a
so there's a
line.
Stop.
Like, yeah, I think right there's a couple there. Stop, subway stops. And
So
bus lines, but I don't know if people ride buses in New York.
I wouldn't drive a bus anywhere, but much less New York.
Right.
I mean, the subway itself is scary enough.
It wasn't scary.
Not scary, but stinky.
It was stinky.
I mean, the whole city stinks.
Well, that's with the garbage that's on the street.
Make alleys out, you idiots. I don't care if your city's 400 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, the alleys are... Yeah, the alleys at least keep the garbage, the stinky garbage in the alleys in Chicago, not on the street.
Let you know that you need a shotgun to shoot the rats. The target in Chicago is rats, people.
Yeah. That
will understand that visual. Four people, maybe, listening to this.
Right.
My Chicago peeps, Steve Willey. Oh, I don't know. He's from the suburbs. They probably
don't shoot rats in this. No. They don't have alleys in the suburbs either, unless it's from like an Oak Park or a Cicero or a near suburb. But anyways.
Yeah. So the one thing I would say about this match is it should have been the main event.
Oh, it wasn't?
No. Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens.
Oh, that's right.
And it's a ladder match. I get why it was the main event, but Finn Balor had already won the title. He won the title the month before in Japan.
Okay.
The great match where Kevin Owens throws the flowers up the aisle. It says this whole country is stupid.
Yeah, I've never seen that clips.
But, so I think, and it's kind of like, I mean, Finn Balor, so then they did it the next month. They had Sasha versus Bayley in a rematch, and it's an Iron Women match where it's 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
The most falls over 30 minutes wins. And they do it right then. Like, at the end of the match, the whole roster comes out. Triple H gives them both flowers.
Aww,
neither of them
nice.
Throw them up the aisle, saying this whole country's stupid. But, yeah, so, and this match itself,
I said very evenly matched, fast-paced, enjoyable. Is this the one where Sasha was stomping on Bayley's hands?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I liked this one a lot.
This, it's definitely...
Is it on your list?
It's very high on my list.
Oh.
It is my highest...
Is it your highest
Definitely women's? Highest women's match.
Okay.
I'm trying to see... I don't think it's... It's not my highest NXT match. Here, let me...
Just do a control find on that.
So I hit a 28.
Oh, good.
And nice. It is my fifth highest NXT match.
Oh, okay.
And it is my highest women's match by far. The only other match was the Fatal 4-Way, and that was in the 70s.
Okay.
But yeah, it is, I would say it's the best women's match.
Why do you like it so much?
It's a match where like, you're not even thinking, oh, these women are having a great match. This is a great match. And it was, the story of it made so much, like, from pretty much that fatal, I don't know, like, May of that year on, like, Bayley had an injury in April, I want to say, and she came back, and it was like...
She hurt her hand, right?
She hurt her hand.
Yeah, Sasha took advantage of that.
Exactly. So she came back, and it was like, okay, I got to... get serious now. I'm not always just going to smile and have my little ponytail.
Right.
So she came back and she beat Becky Lynch. She beat Charlotte.
Okay.
And then it was all leading up to her beating Sasha. And it was like, it was, you know, you could do that with any, you know, Shawn Michaels beats Owen Hart. He beats the British Bulldog. He beats Bret Hart for the title. You know, it kind of
progressed
and it just progressed great to this show. And I remember this show, I think your parents were in town, so we didn't watch it live. And then I ended up going to Alex the next day for SummerSlam. But really, we just wanted to watch NXT the night before.
SummerSlam, so it would have been August 2015?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't really remember.
Yeah, I don't know the exact reason.
Circumstances, but okay.
Yeah, so I think it's just, like I said, the best women's match ever because it's just one of the greatest matches ever.
Gotcha.
It's not a qualifier. It's...
Right, yeah, no.
Literally that good.
No, that was definitely my favorite of the week.
Yeah. And then, from there, we go back to Full Sail.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to, it is June 28th, 2017. And I'm trying to figure out if this was one that was taped.
It was a Last Woman Standing match.
Yes.
I had that in my notes.
Yes. Asuka versus Nikki Cross. And it goes 20 minutes.
Yeah, that was long.
I think last person standing matches are always
That's a good point.
Kind of long because you get that
weird kind of pacing.
And I think
that's true. I guess it would be kind of stupid to have a short one.
Yeah, it's hard to have a short one.
Unless it's like one really big hit right away.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought, I actually kind of confused this with another match that they have, a Falls Count Anywhere match.
A what?
Falls Count Anywhere match. What so it like mean? Goes all over.
Well, they all go all over.
Yeah, but this is like,
they'll have swirling this went out. The commercial.
This one went into like the outside of Full Sail.
Like they went to Disney and like the whole montage of them.
Have a thing every once in a while with NXT. They go to like an outside like a picnic area sort of. To put it in simple terms. So I think I was confusing those two. This is still really good. I liked it.
Yeah.
At the very least, we needed an Asuka match
for sure
to talk about, because she is, I think, for one thing, one of the most mistreated wrestlers. Oh, she should be like a champ all the time.
At NXT, she was the champ.
Right,
for
she
a
was
while,
a champ,
yeah.
for, and she never lost there. And
right, they treated her a lot better there.
Bring her up to the main show, and she wins the Rumble and goes to WrestleMania to wrestle Charlotte. But Charlotte's Ric Flair's daughter.
Yes,
and she's
I'm aware.
White and
right.
blonde and has big breasts. So Vince McMahon is always going to have her win. All the time.
Yeah, no, he's got to get away from that.
Yeah.
Kind of narrative.
I mean, Charlotte's a great wrestler, but
she doesn't have to win all the time. No. Asuka's really good, too. Yeah. Yeah, Asuka definitely deserves
and Asuka,
more.
And Asuka, I mean, she's
screen time.
The women's tag team champ, which is good, but it's not featured as much. And
right.
She's had a couple big time matches with Becky recently, which is good to see, but I think they're still
underutilizing her.
But
yeah,
there's plenty of people that, after they come up from NXT, is mistreated on the main roster. That's a whole other story.
What's the new one, ECW?
AEW?
Whatever. Yeah. AEW, do they have a women's division?
Yes, they do.
Who's in that?
Their champion right now is a transgender.
Oh, okay.
And it's like actually transgender. I'm like, past federations where it was just a dude who won the women's title. It's actually like
someone who's
progressive.
Gotcha. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and they have a lot of their women are from China, I think.
Really?
Like they struck a deal with a independent promotion over there. They kind of have like a funnel to their women, because a lot of the Japanese women go through WWE. So
gotcha.
Kind of to get, you know, they have a pipeline.
Gotcha. Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah. And I mean, they've got a small division, but they're, I think, trying to grow it, which is good.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a good 20-minute match, and it ends with a superplex off a tape, off a ladder through the announce table, which was pretty crazy.
Yeah, they get the garbage can, they get the chairs. Yeah,
lots of weapons.
It's a very physical match. Not a lot of choreography. They didn't do a lot of like very like elaborate moves.
Right. Yeah. It's
like,
not
no
like
slingshots or
right. It's a
whips.
Fight for a
it's
while.
A fight,
I mean, that's kind of always a thing with Nikki Cross, who is also, I think.
What's she doing now? She's still on NXT.
She's on the main show. She's like teammates with Alexa Bliss.
Okay.
And they kind of started it making it seem like Alexa was always calling her a friend, but you kind of kept waiting for her to turn on her, and because you know, like Alexa's
different personalities,
but then
personas.
Eventually they kind of made it where they actually are just good friends and they hang out. And
she had the talk show, Mona Bliss.
Yes, she's every once in a while she's the co-host there and just kind of sitting in the background looking odd.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
kind of her thing to do.
Right. Yeah, no, I like this. They had a lot of power bombs.
Yeah.
Asuka kicked the light out.
And I always like Nikki has her move where she traps someone in the apron.
That's right.
And just
yes.
goes crazy on them. She does
oh,
that
yeah,
at
yeah.
one point. Yeah, good match, though. I liked it.
It was. You're right. The last woman's standing matches just inherently take a little bit more time.
Right, yeah.
Kind of remember, because I didn't really like the John Cena one we watched. So right. When we had this one as last woman's, last person standing, they should make it gender neutral.
Right, well.
Last person standing. I was kind of like, not going to look forward to this. But, yeah, it was like you said, a fight.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was more of Nikki Cross's style. And
yeah. And it was trying that. To, I mean, this was 2 months before Asuka left NXT. So she had kind of already gone through everyone.
Gotcha.
That she could. So this was one of the last hurdles for her.
Yeah, last person to beat.
Yeah.
So, no, it was good. And that was another Full Sail.
Yes, it's Full Sail.
University one. And then what did we just finish watching?
Our last match was from October 6, 2019. So our most recent match that we've watched.
So this one didn't make it to the list.
No, I actually, originally, when this match happened, I had just started putting the list
together,
preliminary, and I put it on there at first. And it ended up just getting bounced by, such great matches as Demolition versus the Colossal Connection.
Yep, I know what that means.
But, no, it's really good. Becky Lynch
this was good, yeah.
defends her Raw women's title. Against Sasha Banks in a Hell in a Cell match.
A red
Hell in a Cell match, which is just stupid.
Well, it's got to get a gimmick.
Yeah.
This is not ads plastered all over it yet.
Yeah, but you don't need... The gimmick is it's a huge-ass cage. Like, why do you need to paint it red?
That's a good point.
Like...
Touché.
I mean, they've always had a cameraman inside there, so it's not like... Like, even if it was the regular fence, you'd always have... a guy in there, but you could also have shots every once in a while through the cage.
Right.
Not they didn't have that at all during this match.
Very briefly, rare. And
it's just I don't know. It's stupid, but that's a whole other thing. There's a lot of stupid things with production and design that.
I wonder who's making those decisions. Is it Vince? Or Triple H?
I don't think it's Triple H.
Yeah.
That's the one thing about him, like, his biggest things are on NXT. And that's why he's, like, all takeovers. Takeover has never had more than 6 matches.
Yeah.
And that's, like, a directive from him.
Okay. Takeovers.
The problem with them, sometimes you have a match, like, the main event of the last one went 40 minutes when it probably should have went 25.
Right.
But still, overall, yeah, they're quick and
I like going to the NXT shows. They get to the point.
Get your 3 or 4 title matches, your 1 or 2 extras.
Yep. That's all you need, man.
Yep. Well.
Well.
WrestleMania will be 6, 7.5, 8 hours. Drew McIntyre will win after 9 hours of people sitting in the Tampa sun.
So oh, God.
He'll get no reaction and we'll decide we better put the title back on Brock Lesnar right away because Drew McIntyre didn't get cheered for enough.
All right. Well, don't have to fortune tell. You don't know what's going to happen. Okay.
This will be. This will be airing in May, so we want to wish everyone a happy Mother's Day.
Oh, okay.
The women's.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay.
Fill your breast if you're a woman and make sure
your breasts are good.
No, for cancer. Cancer awareness.
This is your plug for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Fill your breast.
All right.
So, yes. Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks.
Okay, yes.
21-minute match.
At the Golden One.
Yes.
You're in Sacramento. I did find... So, according to the... Sacramento Kings. This is the world's most connected indoor sports and entertainment venue because they have a multi-year deal with Comcast to basically just install a shit ton of wired like Ethernet and Wi-Fi connections. So they claim, as an example of its bandwidth, the team said the network will be able to handle more than 225,000 posts on Instagram every second.
Wow. So, every second?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know how they,
tested
that, but... I know they had a lot of people going in. I mean,
because it's a 20,000 person
arena. Yeah, right? It's a quarter of a million, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, for an arena that's only 19,000 people.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to have.
There's a lot of internet. I think that's the point they're trying to make. This is a lot of internet. They say free Wi-Fi connections at the arena will be 17,000 times faster than the average home network.
Oh, wow. Why do people need
the internet
that fast?
I don't know.
Why do people need to see porn that fast at a King's
game? They're not watching porn. They can, okay. Well, I don't know.
I think that's the main reason for the internet.
Well, yeah, in general, but yeah. I don't like the golden one center. It's more like, you know how annoying it is when you're at a baseball game, you're trying to, or a concert and trying to find someone or text someone. I think that's what they want to alleviate.
I don't think that really has to do with the actual internet speed, though. It's more like...
Well, the, no, the wireless network. Yeah, yeah, I guess. That's exactly what it is.
You're at a like, Kings game, though. It's
not like... Or a concert, or at Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
Got to get everything up on Twitter.
Got to get your thoughts about the matches.
Exactly. Got to live tweet it.
Yep.
Everyone in the arena could live tweet it every second, according to their stats.
Oh, this No Mercy in 2016 was also there.
Oh, there you go.
Wow. So it's a big WWE hub.
Two pay-per-views makes it a big hub.
Well, it's only been open for how long?
That's true. 2015.
Yeah. So
fair enough.
For Sacramento, it's not like... probably the 7th or 8th biggest city in California.
I don't know. We're not good at ranking populations.
Well, I mean, you got L.A., San Diego, San Francisco, Oakland.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sure like L.A. is like 2 or 3, you know, like Anaheim.
Right, yeah, kind of the...
You know, I mean, they've got more than enough places there.
Right. But,
yeah, so good match. Lots of weapons.
This is a lot of weapons.
And it's kind of... It was
just another fight. There was a couple like moves off the ropes, but it still was more.
Well, yeah, Sasha's physical. Like using her double knee strike,
right?
Where she takes him down, but she does that like on the outside and then through a table,
yeah,
through a chair.
Yep.
They also even at one point they do a banned head chair shot from Becky.
That's right.
It's kind of like a side swipe though, so it's not like the full on death blow that is outlawed It makes one of your wrestlers have Alzheimer's and kill his wife and child.
Yeah.
But.
Well, it causes a lot of problems in general.
Yeah. That was the most outwardly.
Yeah.
But really good match. And like I said, originally it was on the list, but then it just kind of got voted off.
Yeah. Well, next time do your top 150 and then you can.
150 would look a lot different.
Well, maybe do your 100 through 200.
Yeah.
You already just leave your top 100 as they are, and you can kind of keep adding.
Yeah, that might be an idea.
Yeah.
So for you though, how did you rank these five?
For the person who hasn't seen them ad nauseum, I usually don't do my rankings. Well, let's not count the Wet and Wild one.
Right. Yeah. No one really counts that.
Yeah, I still think the Trish Stratus Lita one has to be fifth, not because. It was bad, just relative to the other ones. It wasn't really the same caliber, but
yeah.
I can appreciate it for what it was, you know, when it happened. After that, I don't know, see, once again, it gets pretty close.
Yeah, I would say.
I think the last three we watched were all really, really good, so that kind of as a default puts the Fatal 4-Way as my fourth, but they're all pretty worthy.
That the Sasha, Becky, Hell in a Cell?
I like that one.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. No,
these top four, it's going to be kind of a, well, I think number one is, you know, the Bayley-Sasha.
Yeah, I think
that's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I think 2, 3, and 4 are all pretty close. I think I'm going to put Nikki Cross and Asuka at number 2.
Oh, okay.
I did like that one a lot. Once again, maybe my expectations were low because it was last woman standing. And then Hell in the Cell.
And I mean, it is just the weekly NXT show.
Right. That's true.
Which I think it's kind of lowers your expectations for it.
Right. Yeah, but that still is really, really good. Yeah.
Still good.
Then Hell in the Cell and the Fatal 4-Way are pretty much neck and neck.
Yeah,
for
they're
me.
Really good. Both of them.
No, they're all good. It's kind of good to see. Well, although Sasha and Bailey were like in a lot of the ones we watched.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Sasha's in 3 of the matches.
Right. But it's kind of showing there's more talent coming in the women's division.
Yeah, and
it's good to see really true talent, not like kind of more superficial stuff.
Right,
like I would say the Bellas are more the superficial type.
Right. Well, wrestlers. I think like because there was a lot of talk of this because they're going in the Hall of Fame, as we found out for sure.
Yes.
Confirmed last night. So this really timestamps when recording this. But like. Nikki became a good wrestler. Brie, not really.
Not so much,
But also, like, it's not a Hall of Fame for your wrestling accomplishments. It's for your Hall of Fame for, one, if Vince McMahon is on good terms with you, and two, for your overall accomplishments to the WWE. And the Bellas did have a huge brand with Total Divas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that, like, you
we watched Total
started
Divas,
watching
yeah.
wrestling in a, like, offshoot way because of that.
True.
There's
yeah.
a lot of women who know who the Bellas are.
Right.
And who don't watch wrestling, but know them through that, and that increases the WWE brand.
The awareness, brand awareness.
Yes, which Stephanie McMahon is very big on. Also, she created women's wrestling. We should note that
okay.
in this show, that Stephanie McMahon created women's wrestling and taught Sasha Banks, Bayley, Charlotte, everything they know.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think Dusty Rhodes trained them.
Well. Yeah, and Fit Finley also.
Yeah.
Was a big...
So Stephanie McMahon, she would have matches, quote-unquote, right?
Yeah, and they were... There's varying degrees of quality to them. Her and Trish Stratus in 2001 had actually really good match before Trish was even good at wrestling.
Huh.
But, like, well, with all the McMahons, like, they have the ability to have good matches just... by the story of the match. Like, if they craft it the right way.
Gotcha.
And also, Stephanie's match with... Well, Stephanie and Triple H versus Ronda Rousey and
That's
Kurt
right.
Angle, which was Ronda Rousey's first match ever, is awesome. I think that's mainly because you could see that Triple H, like, planned every single moment
right.
of it.
Oh, yeah.
And if there's one point where he's just, like, bumping all around for Ronda even.
Yeah.
He was... Like, that was one of his big signings, and he was like, I'm going to make sure that she gets
looks
over.
Good, yeah.
But, like, Stephanie Holtz does her part in that match. Like, she's not expected to wrestle a 20-minute match. She's,
right.
But she gets in and does her stuff with
mm-hmm.
Ronda. It's kind of ridiculous at one point where she tries an armbar on Ronda Rousey.
That's
but,
not going to happen, yeah.
But eventually she does the right thing and jobs out to her.
Yeah. No, but I think it's good to see, you know, obviously more women, more women having really good quality matches. And I think it's going to keep going. It's interesting to see how it's evolved from like these really fluffy kind of throwaway matches. And now they're having these like the MMA women come in.
Right.
It's like the way other end of the spectrum.
And it's not anymore. It's not like, oh, there's the one token women's match at WrestleMania. Like this year at WrestleMania, they'll have at least three women's matches, like the Raw Women's Championship, the SmackDown, and the NXT Women's match.
Nice.
They'll probably have a women's tag team title match, and then a women's battle royal.
All at WrestleMania?
Yeah, so there will be at
oh
least...
Oh my god, WrestleMania is going to be like 8 hours line.
Oh, probably 9 or 10 hours.
Oh god.
Yeah. Pre-show will start tomorrow. This is in late February, folks. But yeah, but I mean, still though, it's going to be, it's not like there's a one women's match. It's like, oh, this is one of the women's
right.
matches.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Love it.
Equality.
Equality is more visibility, just more opportunities.
Yeah. And there
I
definitely is. That,
yeah.
Like, there's sometimes when WWE just makes themselves sound good. And there is parts of that to the whole
right.
women's match. But there is also...
They're walking the walk to a certain extent.
To an extent, yeah. Yeah, I agree. So...
So that's... Good for them on that
yeah,
on that
on
note.
That note.
What are we going to do next?
Next week will be our last look at the WWE GWWE list. TV match.
Oh, okay.
Greatest
gotcha.
WWE TV matches of all time. We'll look at 6 matches that are in my top 15 that we have not watched yet.
Fair enough. That's a good,
so
that's good criteria.
Kind of,
ooh, it's a high bar.
It is, yeah. So I was thinking when we watch these, do you want to do chronological order, like we usually do, or in top or bottom to top?
I think we should do chronological,
because okay,
then I have to figure out
where they. Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, it's not in chronological. The chronological
right, gotcha.
Does not match the
I gotcha.
Number they aren't, but for some they do. Some
I'm sure they do just naturally.
Yep.
So good stuff.
All right, and then after that, we're gonna start our WCW deep dive project, which
we are.
There will be some interesting things in that.
Trust yeah, I me. Don't know anything about WCW,
exactly.
So
that'll be entertaining.
That'll be
walk.
Something. It'll be a journey.
Yep.
Cool.
And speaking of journey, do you wish to continue this journey and take this ring?
Yes, I do.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.